97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
We're trying to cover a little bit more at the end here of the Lindsay Clancy trial. This is the mom who, it's not even in doubt. She strangled her children, but the defense is that she was in a psychotic break after postpartum depression. Here is her own mother testifying.
I believe I remember Pat asking her if she felt like she couldn't be alone with the children, and she said no.
And after she made those statements, did you have any thoughts about committing her?
No.
Were you concerned for the children's safety at that point in time?
No, because I was there.
Okay, so there's been testimony about a lot of different medications that Lindsay Clancy was on.
You're actively trying to help her kind of figure out the medication.
Yes, there were a lot of medications.
That is her mother-in-law testifying.
Mostly she had insomnia. She was losing her appetite. She was very anxious and sad. She was begging for help.
Look, unfortunately, and I think a lot of you know this, there's a lot of relatability that I have here, not in a postpartum way, but because I was, in desperate need of help last summer after being, you know, thrown back into this depression and anxiety that I had 12, 13 years ago. And, you know, I missed eight weeks of work last year at this time. This was right about the time I was getting back here. But so the medications and the list of medications, unfortunately for me, are somewhat relatable. But Dr. Yosef Wittering is with us. He's a psychiatrist, CEO, and medical director of Taper Clinic. He's going to kind of talk through this situation with this trial in Massachusetts and the medication. Dr. Wittering, how are you? Thanks for coming on 97.1 FM Talk in St. Louis.
Hey, Mark. Great to be here.
So I have a technical diagnosis of bipolar 2. And, you know, just quickly, I had really bad anxiety and depression 2014. Got on some meds that helped me. Didn't think I, you know, saw the light, was saved. Last year, got thrown back into this again. Had to, you know, change some medication, and I was fine. But I know the torture that is mental illness. Now, that's a little different than strangling your old children, right? But what would you say, just on the postpartum issue here, with the claim that this was a psychotic incident related to the medications?
Yeah, so where that comes from is actually Lindsay's testimony and what her husband and mother have said. So the... So, when someone takes the lives of their children, we don't normally say, oh, they were in a psychosis. We look for an alternative explanation. So generally speaking, we look for something like, hey, you know, was an affair going on? Was this some kind of revenge killing? She found out her husband was cheating, and so she wanted to take her life and the kids. Now, there was nothing of the sort in this case, and that's why it's captivated the nation, because so many people are wondering, why did she do this and how did this happen? Now, when you look at Lindsay's testimony and also the medical records, what becomes really clear is that she, you know, as you mentioned, she has this severe insomnia, but she also starts having bad auditory hallucinations. And so this happens right at the end. And she also reports having thoughts of wanting to harm her children. Now, all of this is happening in the context of getting put on more and more medication.
Right.
Which are making her worse and worse. And so when people have put all of this together, particularly her defense, it really looks like she was having a postpartum psychosis or a drug-induced psychosis, because outside of those explanations, there really isn't anything else that makes a lot of sense other than what the prosecution is trying to argue, which is that she's essentially a psychopath. And that she did this in a calculated way, but everything about her history and who she is and what people are saying about her as a mother and as a person doesn't match up with that at all.
Well, and so this is an interesting case for me, because I'll just be honest with you. I think I would have a much different reaction and different interpretation had I not gone through the experiences that I've gone through. And by the way, am on some of the same medications like Lamictal and quetiapine that Lindsay Clancy was on. So I understand the side effects, the risks, all this stuff. Again, never to the point where I felt like I was going to harm myself or others. But to your point, there seems to be an ample amount of testimony that this psychotic episode was real, right?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, and there is a lot of testimony there. And also, there's a lot of testimony that the medications were making her worse. You know, Mark, as you know, you know, these medications can be very helpful for some people, and a lot of people take them. And something that does happen in rare circumstances is that the drugs can actually make some people worse. Right. Some people just genetically just do not respond to them well. And when you look at what happened with Lindsay, you know, from the first drug she was put on, which was Zoloft, it immediately gave her insomnia. And she has a bipolar diagnosis. That's what the defense is putting forward. And you're not supposed to put someone with bipolar on SSRIs because it can cause manic episodes, and a feature of which is psychosis. And so you have this history where she gets put on the Zoloft, she gets worse, they double the dose, she gets even worse, they wait a couple of weeks, they put her on fluoxetine, another SSRI, she gets worse, and just again and again, she gets put on massive doses of antipsychotic, that doesn't work. Her husband goes in to see the doctor and essentially pleads with the doctor saying, she's getting worse and worse on these mm-hmm. medications, can we take them off, can we try something else? They don't listen to him, they add more medications. And ultimately, the day before she takes the lives of her children and tries to take her own life, they're still doing the same thing with amitriptyline, another antidepressant, even though she's failed two previously and they've made her worse. And so there's also this medical record that is very suspect for drug-induced worsening as well.
What do you mean by that? Explain that a little bit.
So, you know, when somebody wants to plead the, you know, the drugs made me do it defense, you know, whether it's a school shooting or something like that, you have to say, well, you know, what are the alternative explanations? Like, is this just someone trying to hide behind the drugs to get out
yeah,
of culpability?
Okay. Right.
Yeah. But if you have a medical record where there's multiple different physicians who are documenting that the meds are making them worse and multiple people who are saying that the meds are making them worse, it doesn't look like a post hoc cooked up story where someone's trying to justify their behavior. You know, it's kind of documented down. And so that's why it's, I think she has a quite a strong chance of being found not guilty by reason of insanity from drug-induced psychosis.
I think so, too. Now, you're the director of something called the Taper Clinic, and you help patients kind of taper off these psychiatric meds, right?
Yes.
So who are candidates for that? You know, some of this is a personal question. I'm on a certain amount of meds right now. I wish I didn't have to be on them. I feel like after last summer, I do. But again, I think a lot of us who take anti-anxiety or antidepressants wish we wouldn't have to. I have unfortunately discovered that I apparently do have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so most of the people I see are folks who have been on medications for a long time. They're not anti-med. In fact, many of them report that the drugs have been very therapeutic and very helpful. But as many people listening may be aware, these drugs, they can wear off over time, and there's those, they also have a lot of side effects.
Yes.
You know, sometimes it can be weight gain, sometimes there's some tiredness, some loss of motivation. And over time, these things can compound, and they can really affect people. And a lot of the people that come to the Taper Clinic are folks who are saying, you know, I like this med, it was helping me, but I want to try and find something else. And there are a lot of non-drug approaches for mental health problems. A lot of it has to do with weight loss, with dietary interventions, with movement. And sadly, in our current medical system, we don't provide people a lot of support to do that because we don't have the time. And so what the Taper Clinic does is we use all of the evidence-based non-drug interventions for mental illness and do it with coaching, keep people accountable, help them implement them well, and then we try and bring their medications down. And with many of our patients, we get them off, but with some of them, we just find a lower dose that's
yeah.
more sustainable.
Well, that makes sense. That's good. I love it. And again, I hope that I'm in that position someday. But Dr. Wittering, thank you so much. This was amazing insight into this trial, and we're going to see where this jury takes us here in the next week or so. But I appreciate you coming on this afternoon. You were under high recommendation by our friend Paul Morrow, and he was not wrong. So thanks for your expertise.
My pleasure, Mark. Great talking to
you. Okay, take care.
Get more at 971talk.com.